Beloved ones, I greet you in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. It is so moving to come back to the house of God here in Reno. You know, precious, precious saints, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what unites us. That's what makes us family. That's what sends us forth. You have prayed for us, for me personally, for the ministry I'm involved in. You have so graciously cared for quite a few of the children that God has sent into our care, orphaned because of AIDS, cholera, malaria, abandonment. You have... I thank you, Pastor Jay, and dear Mama Pastora, you would be there, together with all of your dear ones. Dear, dear Jim, Dr. Jim, together with Mama Patty. There, we wouldn't dare just say the first name out of respect. Your mama or papa or tio, uncle, and I thank you. Dear Gisela, it is amazing to see you yet here. I thought she had already flown all the way with John, of course. I thank you for coming and that connection that God, it's a divine connection that God has made. And I feel like you are one main of my sending churches. I thank the Lord for you. And I thank him that we may be together once more in his presence, before him, simple children of God. Hallelujah. Now, in then Mozambique, when we want to agree with the preacher or the servant of the word, or however you want to call it, the person that shares the word, when we agree, we say, hallelujah, and they say, amen. Can we make a little noise in church? Amen. Yeah, God likes live Christians. He likes when we respond to what he gives us so that we can walk fuller in his life, in his glory. Why? You say, wow, that's quite a title. Being glory bearers. But that's what God wants of us. And it's not ourselves that can do it. You know, this morning early, I woke up and I went into the living room at Dr. Jim's house together with Patty. The house was still quiet. And I just looked over the city of Reno. The sun was rising, the mountains are there. And I remember last year when I came, there was a little shaking, a little bit of concerns. But you know, even though the mountains shake and the waters roar and the rocks fall into the sea, God is greater than all. And he has kept you, he has kept me. And this mighty God is the one that causes us to be his glory bearers, all because of what he's done for us. Amen. So, let's start. As I was in prayer this morning and the sunshine was... You know what? I get such a burden for this city. I hear there's a lot of casinos and stuff. And I said to my dear sister Cassie, Cassie, let's go down there. And let's go with lots of orphan pictures. And just say, dear ones, God loves you. Don't correct them. Don't say anything. That's what I do in Mozambique. I have witnessed to people who've been in witchcraft and plagued by demons and all. It's really true, dear ones. I'm sorry, but it really is true. And then you speak of the love of God, and everything just calms down. Because suddenly nobody is saying, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. That will come. God will deal in the hearts. But it is so wonderful to be able to pray over your city. I know you do. Let's do more of it. Because if we don't, who will? Isn't that it? And our pastor was saying, we are in turbulent times. Many of you have very difficult situations. It's all over the world. But who do we look to in all of this? And here is our wonderful leader, Moses. Moses, we know, when he was in the desert, There he was. God had assigned him to be the leader of the nation of Israel that come out of Egypt. Saints, we've all come out of our Egypt, haven't we? Yes, I had mine, and I know you had yours. And it would be great to hear everybody's Egypt and how God delivered into our promised land, into the freedom in Christ that we have today. Moses was in the desert, and that's where God's glory, I don't say it's the first time, but one of the first times, appeared in a very real way to Moses. It also says Moses was the most humble man on earth. Most humble. Beloved ones, God's glory is revealed to the most humble. How did our Lord God, our Jesus, come down from heaven? I mean, he left his glory. He left everything. Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, came down, huddled in a little feeding trough of an animal. King of kings, we sang of him today. We are worshiping him. We glorify him. This king came into the humblest of humble places, the most rejected. It must have smelt there. It must have been horrible. But God chooses always the lowliest place. And that's why when Moses, I would love to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But it's in the humble places, in the low places, where he comes, maybe in a very special way. And Moses, here we are in Exodus 33. We have read the scriptures, and these are the ones the Lord gave me already some weeks back. We will make reference to them. But how did God's glory come down for Moses? We are in 33:12. But I'm going to skip, because Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." He'll never send us alone. He'll send somebody by your side. But we must ask the Lord. And I, as a single woman, you know, beloved ones, I must submit to the church leadership. Now I'm at Presbyterian, Reno, Covenant Church. Where am I? Is that good? And I must submit to the precious pastor and his wife that God has given you. They have allowed me to share the word. But I must submit to the leadership. God gave Moses also his compañeros, his companions. But Moses pleads with God, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways." Dear Christians, dear brethren in Christ, have this prayer. God, teach me your ways. We can never learn enough about God's ways. That would be a very proudful heart. Every one of us, if we have 20 years in missions or 20 years in pastoral care, or you are faithful in your home, in your Christian home, and caring for your children, raising them up in a godly way, or wherever you are, teach me your ways. Moses was humble enough. I mean, he was appointed a great leader, and he saw God. He saw him face to face. He still says, "Teach me." Beloved ones, let's stay teachable. "Teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find your favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Then it goes further down. The presence of the Lord was promised to Moses. And then Moses says, "How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and that with your people and that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us?" Beloved ones, I want to go nowhere. No, in the bush where, I'm mixing Portuguese now. Not in the bush where the lions roar and the mosquitoes bite and cholera. If God doesn't go with me, I won't go. But when you say, "God, go with me," and you are commissioned to go, it is awesome, the protection that the Lord has given in so many ways. Here, Moses is pleading, "Don't let me go unless you go with me." And then he says, "What will distinguish me, God, and from all the people of the earth?" What, beloved ones, what distinguishes you and me? A Christian cannot have the same face as a non-believer. A Christian cannot have the same actions as a non-believer. A Christian cannot go to the places where a non-believer who doesn't yet know God. We may go there to testify to him, yes. And that's why the character of a Christian, the character of one who loves the Lord with all his heart, mind, and soul, is what we've read in Zechariah. It's what we've read in Matthew 25. That's the character of a Christian. That's where God's glory will be revealed. But Moses said, God, go with me. And God speaks to him. And then later on we see the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And Moses beheld God's glory. Today, what does your life show? What does my life show? You know, I know we are all, beloved ones, we are in the end of ends. Yeshua, I was a missionary in Israel, so his name is Yeshua, Jesus, will come back any moment. And the Bible says, be ready. And this, what we just heard in the scriptures, Jesus says, come, come, you beloved, come, inherit the kingdom. But we know, beloved ones, there are conditions to enter this inheritance. We know the very first one is faith in Jesus Christ. We have confessed it today again. We believe him. We have thanked him. You know, when I will reflect a little bit on my past. I did not know Jesus personally. I was a good person. It's not enough. I had to come as a beggar before him and say, Jesus, forgive me what I have thought. Today we hear in Zechariah, this is the old covenant. And do not think evil one of another. That's a challenge every day. There's none of us. We're still in the flesh. These things still come upon us. But then a minute when an evil thought comes against your pastor or against your brother or against one of your co-workers or within your family household, just say, get behind me, Satan. I don't want you. That's what I have to do. Be very, very firm with him. Don't put your foot around Satan. Just say, get out. It's good. Yeah, we get free. Okay, now, today, where does your... Moses was on a journey. He met the glory of God and the call of God on his life in the desert. Beloved ones, the desert experience is where we are refined. I've had my desert experiences, and I know you have. And when Moses, 40 days up in that mountain, no food, no drink. Bible says that, no drink. But in the presence of Almighty God, when he came back down, yes, commissioned with the second time of the Ten Commandments, his face shone with glory, the Bible says. And then I noticed something this morning. And no, Moses didn't know it. You see, when we are truly humble before our wonderful living God, and we do whatever we do, all that we've heard in the scriptures, as unto him, we ourselves won't be self-centered and do things for motives or to get... Moses didn't know that the glory shone. Others saw the glory of God in Moses. I pray each one of us, as we serve one another, as we love one another, as we sacrifice where God calls us to sacrifice, where to go, to do whatever we do, may God's glory shine through us without us getting puffed up. Hallelujah? Amen. Okay, there we go. Now we're practicing the amens. We heard in Zechariah the description of kingdom living is to act justly, to show mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Be compassionate one to another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the alien, or the poor. And we've already dwelt on do not think evil one of another. Today's characters, the world, even if they don't know it, they're crying out for this to happen in the world. They don't know it. That's why, beloved ones, you and I must be these kingdom bearers in whatever God calls you to do, to act justly, to show mercy, to do it in humility before your God, because he's the author of it all anyhow. He needs to get the glory, and to be compassionate. You know, these are all Holy Spirit character burned into our lives. There's no way I can be compassionate without Jesus. He showed it first. He demonstrated it in love. All these descriptions that we hear in Zechariah of what it takes to truly please God. God says, that's what pleases me. When you do this, in Micah we also read the same thing. In the world, we know too well, and I won't dwell on it. There's so much injustice, so much mercilessness, so much pride, hardness of heart. You know, after Zechariah prophesied this important proclamation for the people of Israel, and what's for the people of Israel is for us, the people hardened their hearts. It says their hearts were as flint. I think that's the hardest stone that exists. I'm not a good scientist or biology people, but I know my dear brother is. Is flint the hardest stone? But it's one of the hardest, right? They make knives out of it. Well, I don't want a heart that is hard as flint. Dear saints in Christ, let's pray for hearts soft, soft, that we do not harden our hearts when God says, help that orphan. Take that widow in that's sleeping on the sack. Take that child that has AIDS, the whole body is reeking with sores. Go visit in the nursing home that precious one that you know or don't know. Don't ever harden your hearts to God's voice to do an act of love, of mercy, of compassion, of forgiveness. Today, a dear sister, this needs our forgiveness. I have no idea what it's all about. Pastor says he doesn't know all. We don't need to know all. But God's mercy and love and compassion will forgive her. Whatever situation made a thing difficult, we need to be people of mercy, love, compassion, forgiveness. That makes us different from the world who wants to get hit back. That's why, beloved ones, now I'm going to sort of sneak little bunny trails. Why do we sometimes open our hands in worship? You know, it's biblical. It says, lift up holy hands. And then it says, that's in Timothy, that's New Covenant, free of wrath and free of doing injustice. So when we lift up holy hands, that's an open hand, a hand that wants to love, a hand that wants to serve, a hand that wants to embrace, a hand that wants to wipe the wounds, a hand that, there are so many ways we can show love with our hands, huh? But if they're fisted like this, wah, just want to give you one. You were so unjust to me. You lied against me. I'm going to bash you one. Yeah, we all have that little thing in us still. And then God's Holy Spirit comes and not that way. Go softly, forgive. Before the other one said sorry, we have to forgive. Compassion. So lifting up holy hands, don't be afraid. My children, well, that comes later. Lifting holy hands. It's part of the surrendered life to Jesus. If you do it or don't do it, you're free before God. But it is a biblical way of worshiping. Moses was mightily used by God. Now, beloved ones, he was on his journey. He went through the desert. He never got in for one, Pastor, help me if I'm wrong, for one reason. He disobeyed God. God said, speak to this mountain to give water. They were in the desert. And God's chosen vessel also blew it. He banged it, or whatever you call that, tapped it with his rod. Water still came out. God still honored it. But God said, Moses, I said, speak to it. Now, that doesn't mean Moses lost his salvation. Not at all. Because we know he appeared in the transformation, when Jesus was transformed, and Elijah and Moses. So, no. But God wants us obedient in every little thing. And beloved ones, don't be too hard on us who are in leadership roles, because Pastor just said we are also flesh and bone. And sometimes we also disobey, or we don't have the right discernment. But ask for it. And this obedience is so important in whatever you do. If it's in the university, if somebody is sick, I just heard, dear Cassia, some students are coming. I think it's tomorrow night. We are with university students. And this lady isn't believing yet. I'm not going to jump all over with that. No, no. We want to just sense them to be invited in to hear of God's work among the neediest of the needy. But Moses obeyed, and the path went, and he was buried. Nobody knows where, but we know Moses reached eternity. Mighty man of God. Beloved ones, you and I have been called, commissioned. Gisela will know we both grew up in the same place. I alluded it last time when I was here among you. But I cannot deny saying, I see God's thread in my life. I remember among that precious group of Anabaptist Christians that fled Nazi Germany and had the courage to say, Hitler, all Heil comes from Christ and not from you. Heil in German means salvation. Heiland is the one who saves. Many don't know that. Heil Hitler is salvation comes from Hitler. We know he was one of the Antichrists. And with that situation, they finally fled the Nazis and went to Paraguay. That's where we grew up. I thank the Lord for obedience to my parents, that whatever it cost, they went. They weren't perfect. They had their situations. Don't dwell, don't think evil of others. Don't dwell on those things. Think of the good. And my dear parents, I came through a wonderful childhood, then a very difficult moment in my life as a teenager. I was about to take my life, and Papa was home, and I ran home and said, Papa, if you don't do something, I'm going to commit suicide. I knew nothing of, dear ones, there is a demon of suicide, and he's rampant today. And we must do everything possible to spread the love of God so that these dear ones who are so frustrated or held in chains with this. But Papa went on his knees, and that broke this demon. Out of this came my call. And God, I was still in this very sheltered Christian community. And he said to me, Tanakan, will you follow me? Come what may. And at that time, I didn't know, but I heard his voice. Inwardly, not audibly. That was my commissioning to where I am today. I've come through many situations. I have seen many, many difficult situations through this. I mean, I was making minimum wage in America when I was able to go to Israel. I had no money. I was on a bicycle. But you know, when we're faithful with little, God uses that. And he entrusts you with more. And then he entrusts you with more. And with this, finally, Israel. And then came the call to orphans. Dear ones, it's such a long story, and I have probably only 5 or 10 minutes more. What must we do? We just let God speak. Is that it? And if it goes...
We preach for about 10 or 15 minutes, so... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard a little bit about this. That pastor usually has 45 minutes. So I did half an hour. So I have a little more time. All right. All right. So we're both on the same bench. Is that it? With going over. But God's people don't mind a little bit of this, do we? You know, in Africa, we sit 3, 4, 5 hours in church. They walk 4, 5 hours, some of them, to come. There's no way you're just going to be half an hour there or an hour when you've done all of that walking. Sometimes through mud and everything. So it's okay. All right. So as I was in ministry in Israel, God said, now go to Mozambique. And my dear girlfriend, who treated me to a Christian retreat, I said to her, I mean, tears are rolling down because I was hearing an orphan choir, a true orphan choir. And now we can put that song on. This is one of my orphans, Augusta, 12 years old. Father and mother have died. God said, bring worship to the children in Africa. I am humbled. They bring worship to me. Listen to this. If you would like to say, I am a child of God. My father is in heaven. This is Masina. No, 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 she's singing.
Disafuna werera, kuna baba wanga, satana nyonyo tenga.
Keep it going, but very low. Every night, these orphans pray together. We don't need that. They worship the Lord together. They're on their faces, kneeling, shouting, just wanting more of Jesus. And they pray for each other. They pray for us leaders. I'm the only little white person among all my precious Mozambican brethren. And these children, this is what they sing. I am a child of God. My father is in heaven. And Satan, get away from me. This is one of many songs. I am so thankful that these children, I believe it's through divine visitation, because you can't produce this. This comes from a heart of a child. So when God called me to Mozambique, now you can turn it off, your brother. When my call came to go to Mozambique, I said to this dear girlfriend, where's Mozambique? God says, go to Mozambique. Beloved ones, obedience. I didn't know, I had no idea. I knew Africa. Within 6 weeks, I had packed up the teen missions ministry. I was working with drug addicts, with women who were troubled through drugs, anorexia, various problems, and sent off to Africa to work with orphans. And Jesus, all my life as a single woman, I've had such a longing to work with orphans. Because what does the Bible say? James 1:27. James 1:27, we know this scripture so well, and it's somewhere here. Maybe I wrote it down. Yes, orphan care. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Beloved one, Satan always wants to pollute us. Ah, no, go ahead. Watch this movie. It won't hurt you. It's just a movie. Well, it does hurt you because it's going right in here. We must have the heart of compassion that we've heard out of Zechariah and we've heard it in Matthew. The heart of God is the heart of compassion, love, mercy, bending down to the neediest of the neediest, ministering his love through one of you or one of me, one of us, so that true religion, true faith is just this, to guard orphans and widows. You can say, yeah, but we need to preach the gospel. Yeah, you do. As you do that, if you're helping somebody to go, or if you do it here, we have orphans here, you have foster homes. I know we have various possibilities. But in doing that, in friendship evangelism with these, the gospel has gone forth many, many a time. And I want to share a little bit what this has meant for me personally in Mozambique. Mozambique is a nation of, well, it's 20 million people now, but the AIDS epidemic is incredible. It's 23 to 26% of the people. Every fourth to fifth person that you meet is an AIDS HIV positive carrier. And God so burned it in my heart that these orphans that we are taking in, now we have 80, and every day a new one arrives, that we must be this shelter, this caring. I remember my dear Tani, some of you have received my story about her. An orphan that was full of sores came to us, lay on the cement floor in Pastorego, on Mama Rego's place, where we have over 50 of our orphans, full of sores, just crying. Mama and Papa had died. Her older sister had died. They had just come to us. And she just said, I want to go home to my mana. My mana is my oldest sister. And I took her, I was next to her, and I just held her, and I said, Fatima, Tani, like my nickname, don't cry anymore. God has given you a new family, because that's what this true religion is all about. And so we took her in. I said, Tani, stop crying. I'll give you a capulana. There's one out there. And I'll give you something to cover your sores. That moment, Tanya and I were best of friends. She walked with us for 5 years. She's my angel in heaven, this dear, dear child. But I tell you, beloved ones, let's live in sanctity. Let's live in purity. You know, we know AIDS is caused mostly by prostitution or infidelity. It can be caused by transfusion, but that's very rare. And Tani suffered because of the sin of Papa and Mama that had long died. I just pray that somebody shared the gospel with them. This Tani was like an angel on this earth. This child prayed like I rarely heard a child pray. One day she'd go to school as much as she was able to, and the thunderstorm roared. And she went into a little mud hut on one of the neighbors and then came home. Mama, Mama. I say, what is it, dear? And so she told me that it was such a big thunderstorm. She was so afraid. And then she says, and then God spoke to her. Beloved ones, the children are in children's school. God speaks to our children. We must let him. And she said, Mama, God said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Now, this child was suffering from AIDS already for 3 years. We have bandaged her. We have bathed her. And then she had good moments and she did have not good moments. But I said, that's the God that loves you. And he's your Papa in heaven. And so life would go on. And very suddenly, her last months on earth, she could even put her little black new braids in, you know, the artificial hair. She had no sores. And suddenly, I get a phone call. Mama Tani is crying, screaming out of pain. I said, rush her to the hospital. Dear ones, we have no 911. I was in mission in another town. We have no ambulance, nothing, just dirt roads. And we took Tani on a bicycle, and she was so weak she couldn't. I said, take her to the hospital, whatever, do it as quick as possible. Well, one of my guards carried her just on the shoulders till to that little local hospital. When I came back at 6 in the evening, I made soup. I wanted to get a towel and the soap and give her a bath in the hospital. My little angel had gone home. But you know what? She's with Jesus. And we all who die in Christ, we will see one another again. And we will see Tani. We lost our dear Shiko. A horrible death out of old lady. Beloved ones, let the compassion of Jesus consume you. The only barrier to having the compassion of Jesus is our self-life. Sometimes I didn't want to go. We have birthed children under the mango tree right in my yard. One neighbor comes running, Mama, Mama, send a cloth, quick, quick, quick. Child was born right then and there. There is so little help. But with Jesus, it's all possible. I remember this dear, dear lady must be in her 40s. I won't give names where you don't know her anyhow, but there it has to be very, you have to protect them if they have AIDS. This lady was dying of AIDS, and she couldn't speak anymore for days. It was just an excruciating, long, slow death. God waited for somebody to dare to go to her and speak of his love and forgiveness. I was called out of Bible school, rushed to the house. She said, she wants to go to the hospital. We knew the hospital, this third world hospital, couldn't do a thing for her. I went. I took her in my rickety old Isuzu. Now we're praying for a truck. That Isuzu is 12 years old. It has broken down so many times. It has come through 3 floods. Well, I took her, thankful for what I had. And then she says, just, Mama, Mama, 3 times. she called me. So I crawled into the truck with her. I lay next to her. Beloved one, Jesus touched the leper. He lay with that one that was demon-possessed. He delivered him. We must not be afraid. And many Mozambicans, they think you get AIDS because you touch them. No, you don't get AIDS when you touch them. So I laid next to her and I said, what is it? She could not talk anymore. So I just said, in her last breath, say to Jesus, I'm sorry. In her last breath, she said, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. Because she probably lay around. Who knows? We don't need to know. Jesus knows everything, and she needed somebody to say, you are forgiven. Just say, I'm sorry. 2 hours later, she went home to be with the Lord. Never, never harden your hearts, beloved ones. If God is stirring you now to help those who help, be it in Africa, be it in Mozambique, be it in India. God, I know you have also missions here, but you have adopted me as your little bush missionary. That's how I feel. And I just thank the Lord for you. Without what you have sent, and yes, some others, I could not do this that I'm doing. I can't. It is difficult with the financial situation. But Mountain of Praise Church is a church that has this call to care for orphans and widows. We have over 80 living right with us. Then we have over 300 in the community. And then we have maybe 1,000 to 1,500 spread out in our over 230 churches. All trying. I mean, these people are poor, poor, poor. But love does not cost one penny. So let's love one another. When you can give, give generously. You are helping people who are willing to go. And now I want to just, before we have our PowerPoint, I want us to go back to Matthew 5. There is so much to share, but I will share many more stories as we have the PowerPoint. Jesus invites us, come ye blessed. I don't know if it's written in the bulletin, but here we are. Come ye blessed. That's an invitation. Come to whom? Beloved ones, Satan does not want us to come to Jesus. Oh, he'll do everything that we have an excuse. But come. His arms are wide open. Doesn't matter what we thought or done. And experience his blessing. But how will his glory be revealed? It is through the acts, the righteous acts of his saints. That's how his glory will be revealed. Because he says here, come, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And now he will separate the nations. And the entry to his kingdom is all this that we've heard. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come. Jesus rejects no one. We have dealt with criminals. We have dealt with robbers. We have dealt with people who have confessed that they have laid around so much. I never forget, I was far away where the floods were, preaching the gospel, wading through water this deep with snakes, scorpions, crocodiles. You pray over the water and God purifies. I'm here. Everything's fine. Yeah, I had ugly old malaria once or twice. May that thing go. Okay, come. Come, Jesus says. And today, I hope, Pastor, we will not let God's hour go by. God speaks. You've had a beautiful time of silent prayer before your Jesus. I so appreciate that you do that in this church. There's more that Jesus wants to do today. Come. Inherit the kingdom he has prepared for you. I was hungry. Beloved ones, we just took in 5 children. Father and mother have died. They came on the train, hungry, they're thin. We took in 4 others. The doctor gave 1 more month. Dear ones, the worms were eating off their toes. We'll see it in the video. Today, they are healthy children, but they were hungry. Somebody needs to embrace them and say, come in Jesus' name, because here it says, what you've done to them, you've done to him. or her. That little boy, my Minez, shy little boy. I love the shy ones, the ones that others don't relate so well to. Ah, no, those are the ones I want to embrace. And that dear boy is today a healthy boy. The worms are healed. He is no longer suffering from hunger. I was hungry and you took me in. Beloved ones, you have your ways of feeding the hungry. I know I speak within our work with the orphans and the destitute and the poor. You gave me to eat. There's a man in Beira. He hobbles along. He can hardly walk. He is so handicapped. And every time I see him, I just pray, Lord, never harden my heart. Sometimes I have nothing to give. I put now bananas and bread in the truck because I don't like to always give a penny. That doesn't go very far. And sometimes it's used to sniff whatever or take alcohol, you know, the funny little alcohol that they make out of corn. So I give him food. But he, when he comes, and then he says, thank you, oh, my leper friend. There are so many stories to tell. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. In Mozambique, you just walk, and you ask your neighbor for water. They're so family-like, but we must do it. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you look after me. In prison, we have a marvelous privilege. I don't. We want to start the prison ministry. Beloved ones, I know some of you are going to the prisons. All of what's written here is not just for the missionary out there in the bush. Either we are the missionary or the one that needs to be missionized. I don't know if that's right. We all need this heart. It is our entrance. First, faith in Jesus Christ. But by having faith in Jesus Christ, we will be compelled to do these things. If we have no fruit of kingdom living, I'm sorry, I won't judge because God is the judge. But then I question, where is your Christianity, my Christianity? If there's no works of compassion, no love, no forgiveness, no caring for the poor or visiting somebody who's sick, it is God's invitation, but we can do nothing unless we come to Jesus. That's where it all starts. And when I cried out to the Lord at the point of taking my life, Jesus came in and he said, follow me, come what may. I had no idea what that would all entail. But as we go, as we are in Mozambique and other missionaries in other nations, and you who are enabling us to go, I plead with you. I don't ask for money, but I ask for money. Help us. Help us so that we can do and continue. We will go to the PowerPoint after a few moments of break, but I just long that we could respond to Jesus' invitation. Come to him and ask him, teach me like Moses did. Show me, Lord, where my heart is not soft enough. Show me, Lord, where I want to hold on to things. You know, kingdom living, we die to this thing. Oh, how we like to feed this thing. How we like to pamper ourselves and comfort zones. I never forget. I was in the bush of bushes. It's worth it all, beloved ones, when souls get saved. Freed from witchcraft. Freed from whatever, I mean, miraculous healings through prayer. But first I and you must come to him who is the author of it all. And I'll never forget, I was so exhausted. And the little bathhouse they gave,